Hi everyone, this is Denny.
And this is Charissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this next song. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another Looking Up show. My name is Danny, and today is Wednesday, May 13. And today I am blessed to have in our studio as our special guest, the one and only Jeff. Welcome to Faith FM.
Yeah, thank you, Danny. It's good to be here, and yeah, good afternoon. And good afternoon to all the listeners out there.
Absolutely. Now, Jeff, he has an incredible story where Faith FM is very much at the heart of his spiritual journey. And so I've been hanging out for this day, Jeff, for a long time to have you come on the radio and to share your testimony, this journey of faith and how God has led and guided you.
Well, I'm finally here, so...
The day has arrived.
Yeah, it's arrived.
That's exciting. And we also have in our studio today, directing traffic, not Shell, not Sharissa, and not even Rochelle, but a new person for the first time here on the Looking Up show, and that is Letitia. Welcome along, Letitia.
Good afternoon.
Great to have you on board. So tell us, how long have you been working at Faith FM?
I've been working at Faith FM since the start of this year, and you've probably normally heard me on The Breakfast Show.
Okay, so she is a breakfast regular. Do you listen to The Breakfast Show, Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, so you've bumped into Letitia there on The Breakfast Show, eh? That voice is familiar.
Yeah, not every morning, but yeah, a couple of times a week I'll be listening to The Breakfast Show.
Oh, there you go, with Scaffy.
Yeah.
We had Scaffy on last week, and that was a really fascinating program. If anybody missed it, you can go to the Faith FM website, or you can go just to your Faith FM app, and you can go to the podcast section there. And last week's program, so that would be May 6, featuring Scaffy, an interview with Scaffy on AI, and that was really, really interesting. I learned so much. I went back home and I started to Google and do my own research, and yeah, it was quite incredible. So how quickly things are changing, Jeff. It's incredible.
Yeah, there were some amazing things in that conversation, like especially with AI and the American military.
Yeah, absolutely. And that book.
Mind-blowing.
And that book, The Technological Republic. That was really fascinating, and some of those 22 points that came out of that book. So anyway, that was really, really fascinating. So there's just so much going on in that space. So if you're interested, you can tune into that program from last week. And as we speak, I'm not sure if she's listening right now. She can text me if she is, but my usual co-host, Sharissa, she's been away up north, and so she told me she was traveling back with Justin and little Judah. And the little one who's inside the pouch. You know, Sharissa's got a little one inside the pouch?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if that's how you refer to it, Letitia. Have you ever heard of anyone referring to a woman as having something, a baby in the pouch? I guess.
No,
you haven't.
I have.
Yeah. I don't know how that came out. That was like just very organic. A bit like this show, eh?
But so anyway, we all know what you meant, though.
We definitely knew. Hopefully all our listeners know. She's pregnant. That's what that means, in case you're still wondering. Poor Letitia's thinking, what have I got myself involved in this afternoon? She'll probably never come back on the Looking Up show. Well, I'm here anyway. So we wish you all the best. If you guys are traveling, And, yeah, looking forward to connecting with you next week. And next week, oh, I did get a message here from Sharissa. Judah says to tell you I don't have a pouch and she's not a kangaroo. Go, Judah. I love you, mate. Hey, hope you're keeping your mum and dad honest. And, Judah, I hope you're asking your mum and dad to tell you stories. You know what I had to do? You know what my job was on these long trips? From Melbourne to Sydney or Sydney to Brisbane or whatever, these long trips and little kids in the back, two little girls. You know what my job was?
Tell stories.
Tell stories. Mm. I used to tell stories and the story would just go on and on and on and on. The kids just loved it.
I could imagine. Yeah, I've heard a few stories from you, Danny. They're pretty good.
I can really make them up. I can really make them up. So anyway, Judah, I hope and pray Mum and Dad are telling you lots of stories on that long journey back home. So I also want to give a big shout out to my mate Rod, our mate Rod. He's listening. He texted me. He's listening as he's doing his honey.
Yeah.
He's a legend, Rod A. Top bloke.
He is, yeah.
Him and Sherilyn, they're just such a wonderful couple and a real blessing at the RTM Church. We've got a bunch of folk listening at RTM right now.
Yes.
Including Matty.
Yeah, Matt.
Your mate, Matt.
Yeah, he said he set the alarm for 3:30.
Yeah. So our RTM Church family is listening and that's the church family that Jeff is a part of. We're blessed to have Jeff on our in our church and part of our family. So a couple of quick things before we round off and go to our first song. I do have a couple of programs. One this coming Sunday in Windsor, Sydney. So if you're anywhere near Windsor, Sydney, I'm doing a Faith FM dinner on Sunday night, this coming Sunday night. You can go to the Faith FM website, go to the events page, and you can book. You can register for that dinner as well, May 29, Avondale Memorial Church. I'm running a weekend series there. That's on the website as well. And coming up onto the website very soon is another program I'm doing in June in Prospect in Adelaide. Wow. So that's going to be also happening. So we'll give you more details for that as we go. But now we're off to a song, Ellie Holcomb. He will give the way the weary strength.
Those who hope. Thank you.
You are listening to Ellie Holcomb, He Will Give the Weary Strength. And what that's a great title for a song, isn't it? He will give the weary strength. And if ever we needed strength, it's right now, isn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, we need the strength of God in our lives. That's
Amen.
For sure.
Amen. So you are listening to The Looking Up Show on Faith FM. I'm today blessed to have Jeff, who's our special guest. He's going to be sharing his testimony in a little bit, and that is a very, very powerful testimony. So you want to be listening in all the way through to the very end, and you want to probably ring up someone, text a friend, tell someone to tune in right now and to hear this message. It's going to be such a blessing. And Letitia, she's doing a fantastic job under difficult circumstances. Answers having to deal with me. Sharissa, she was just laughing her head off, with that whole pouch scenario. And she's thinking, this guy, who allowed him into the studio? Anyway, so we're going to have a wonderful time. So before we get to your testimony, and before we take a brief look at some current events, oh my hat, as my friend Celia would say, there is so much going on. And Sharissa was texting me a few different things that are going on. Literally, I've lined up like 10 different things. We're just going to mention them today. I'm just going to ask you for your brief thoughts on the matter. But next week, when Sharissa's here, we're gonna spend a lot of time unpacking the current events that have happened in the last few days that will be happening in the next few days. So there's just so much going on from a prophetic point of view, because that's our interest, isn't it?
Yeah. Definitely.
We're not interested in politics here from a political point of view. We're interested in what's going on from a prophetic point of view. But before all that, we have a giveaway, as always. We have a giveaway, and we'll be giving the code word in our next segment. So be listening for the code word. And you can, our looking up number is 04-888-17624. That's 04-888-17624. You'd pretty much know that number off by heart, Jeff.
Oh, not really.
Not quite, huh?
I do have it in my phone.
Yeah, so you're ready to text. Have you ended up getting a few books?
No, I haven't really texted in yet.
Yeah, so you leave it for others.
I sort of get books from church and things like that too.
That's true. So our giveaway book for today is Hope for All the World. Wow, that sounds like a great book. Hope for All the World, Bible Answers to Big Questions. And it's from Beulah Galloway. So the Bible answers to some of the big questions. Let me just read you a little of this book and what you can expect. There is power in the Word of God. Sometimes we just need to let Scripture speak for itself. And I say a hearty amen. So in this book, Hope for the World, Beulah Galloway presents Bible texts on God and His law, sin and salvation, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and man's place and purpose in the world, arranged topically for your convenience. Wow, so that's fantastic. And so you will really, really be blessed in your walk with God with this book. So we're going to give the code word in our next segment. So Hope for All the World, Bible Answers to Big Questions. Does that sound like a book that might interest you, Jeff?
Yes, definitely.
So you might have to text away today. And you're right here, so you can see the code word already. So we'll give that away in the next segment. All right, so we've got 10 minutes at the most of this section, because we want to give Jeff all the time that he needs in order to share his incredible journey of faith. So I'm just going to just share just briefly, Jeff, and I know you listen regularly to the Looking Up Show, so you're you know, on top of the things that we talk about from week to week.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on this idea of church and state, the separation of church and state, as you have heard from this Religious Liberty Commission chairman, who says it's a big lie?
Yeah, it's... You can just see it all coming together, can't you?
Yeah.
Like it's the end's coming, and it's in the Bible, it's in Revelation, and, you know, that's the recipe for disaster. The history has proven
the
disasters of that recipe.
Yeah, from the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
And, I mean, isn't it incredible that this is being shared in the land of the free and the home of the brave? The United States of America that detached itself, that ran from persecution, which was instigated when the church and the state got into bed together. Persecution always is the end result. So they fled from that. They're celebrating 250 years of independence.
Yep.
And as we are celebrating this event this year, in a couple of months' time, they're saying that the separation of church and state is the biggest lie from the devil that the American people have been told, and we need to scrap it. Can you believe it?
Nah, it's ridiculous. And history, you know, you'd think mankind would learn from history, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like, but we just never learn.
No.
We just keep making all the same mistakes.
Yeah, it's incredible. And if we didn't have the scriptures, where Revelation 13, speaking of the United States of America, says in verse 11, this lamb-like beast, two horns like a lamb, would ultimately speak like a
dragon.
The devil and Satan, who is into coercion, who is into deception. So we're seeing Bible prophecy literally. I'm literally looking at a headline here from April 15, and the headline reads, it's from this article, Word and Way, Church-State Separation is a Lie, in talking marks, says Trump's Religious Liberty Commission chair. Just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. So on some other things that we'll be looking at, especially next week, this Rededicate America Sunday coming up in a few days' time.
Yeah.
For the first time in the United States history, where, you know, the nation has been called upon by the president himself.
Yeah.
So the president himself calls the nation to a national jubilee of prayer, praise and thanksgiving service to rededicate America as one nation under God.
Well, all of that sounds very good.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's good.
And it's good.
To rededicate the nation to God.
But, you know, if you know your Bible, you can see the undertones of where that this may lead.
And so when we connect that with the previous headline, the separation of church and state needs to go by the way, because that's a big lie. When you connect that with that, you can clearly see that this religious element is permeating the government more and more, such as we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Like, we've never been down this road before. Like, there's always been, you know, most of the politicians in America claim to be religious. Okay, most of them claim to be either, you know, evangelical or Catholic, of a Christian persuasion. There's a few others from some of the other faiths, and there's a few secular or atheists. Very, very few, but to have political leaders and many others calling on the government and the church, the Christian church in particular, to unite for the good of the nation, that spells trouble.
Common sense has sort of just been thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And if people knew their Bibles, they would not be going down that road.
They wouldn't be going down that road. And another matter, I think we briefly mentioned this last week. I cannot recall. But anyway, Sharissa and I will really dig deep into this. Donald Trump, once again, we deal with America because that's the epicenter of end time prophecy.
Yes.
So, you know, Donald Trump put out a proclamation on May 4th. So just a few days ago, Jewish American Heritage Month, which is nothing new. Since 2006, for the last 20 years, every single president has designated the month of May as Jewish American Heritage Month. So to thank God for the contribution of the Jewish people to American society. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
But for the first time, ever has a U.S. president called upon not only the Jewish people to set aside a Sabbath day to remember the United States of America in connection with the 250th anniversary, but now he is calling upon all Americans. I'm reading here from his proclamation where he simply says, where are we here? He says, I call upon Americans to celebrate the heritage and contributions of Jewish Americans and to observe this month with appropriate programs, activities, and ceremonies. I further call on all Americans to celebrate their faith and freedom. So he's calling upon all Americans to enter into this Sabbath rest, and he's calling it a Jewish Sabbath. Now, is the Sabbath a Jewish Sabbath?
Well, we want to hope it's a Saturday Sabbath, don't we?
Yeah, right. Well, it's from Friday sunset to Saturday Sunday that he's counting on. But that's not a Jewish Sabbath. That's God's Sabbath that he gave before there were any Jews in the Bible. Isn't that right? I mean, in Genesis.
It's God. Everything's God's, isn't it?
Yeah.
His Sabbath.
Yeah. You know. I mean, Adam and Eve, were they Jews?
No.
They weren't Jews. Adam and Eve, they were the first humans. Mm. So God gave. So anyway, we're going to look at that, and we're just going to see how this, how things are just falling into place. Then we had America Prays. We've had, you know, America Reads the Bible. So all these spiritual elements coming in connection with the 250th anniversary. And then finally, UFOs are back in the headlines. Have you heard about the latest on UFOs?
No, not the latest, but I've heard a lot of things sort of throughout my life here and there popping up with UFOs.
Well, let me tell you, last Friday, US time, so that would be Saturday our time, Donald Trump promised a couple of months ago that he was going to declassify these government classified documents, videos and documents in connection with UFOs and UAPs, these unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yep.
And last Friday he did. He put out the first batch, and he's planning on putting out more and more and more and more as we go along. Now, the interesting part and the important part from our perspective in connection with this is because the Bible says spiritualism is going to be a key issue at the end of time. Isn't that right?
Yes. Well, funny you mention about that, because I've experienced the UFO myself. Well,
there you go. Yeah. So,
and I've sort of had a spiritual journey.
Is that right?
As you'll hear, but so there's a deception right there, isn't it?
There you go. And so a lot of, you know, we've had Hollywood prepare the way with all these fiction movies that have got spiritualism through it. Now we've got these UFOs, UAPs, you know, various videos and documents that will be released in connection with that. We know that the devil can, he can masquerade as an angel of light.
Of course.
We know that Revelation 13, 16, Matthew 24 and so many other scriptures, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 speak of the supernatural being used by the enemy to bring about that final deception.
Yeah.
So can you see everything's coming together?
Well, now that I look back, I see that as a deception.
Yeah.
But in the moment, I believed that I'd seen a UFO.
Absolutely.
So that's, you know.
So you'll be able to share a little on that in your story.
Yeah,
that's going to be exciting. Well, folk, there's a lot going on, so Sharissa, prepare yourself. Have a nice, well-earned rest and break during the course of this week, because next week we are going to be going to town as we do a deep dive on some of these stories that we have briefly mentioned, and there's many, many others as well that we will take a look at. Not to mention Pope Leo's first encyclical that, according to Sharissa, she sent me just the little promo for that, and that's coming out on May 15, which is this Friday.
Wow.
His first encyclical, and it's on the anniversary of Rerum Novarum, May 15, 1891, when Pope Leo the 13th put out that huge encyclical that basically is the foundation for Catholic Church social doctrine and everything in connection with bringing about unity, bringing about rest, and so on and so forth. So anyway, so that's coming out as well. This is all happening.
Yep.
It's incredible. Anyway, so after this song, my friends, we're going to be launching into Jeff's testimony. But that song that you're going to hear before that is from Pete and Cara Bell, Oh Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Sit back and enjoy. And when we come back, we're coming back with Jeff's testimony.
That will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow. All my way.
charge to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter. Kissed me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tear.
To Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have a Bible question you've never quite had answered? I'm Lyle, and every Thursday at 5 p.m, I unpack the deep, meaningful, and sometimes tricky questions people send in. Whether you're searching for clarity, exploring a new topic, or just love learning alongside others, Question of the Day is for you. Send your questions anytime to 0488 808 56, and join me each Thursday at 5 p.m. as we dig into the Bible with the promise that no question goes unanswered.
Listening to the Looking Up Show on this Wednesday afternoon, and we are here with my good friend Jeff and Letitia. How are you enjoying it so far, Letitia?
It's a great show.
Fantastic, fantastic. That's very nice of you to say that. I'm like, why did I even ask that question?
It's a lot of fun.
This could have gone really, really badly. So no, I'm glad you're enjoying it. And we've been talking about what's been going on in the world, telling us that the coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's just so much going on, and we didn't even like mention what's going on in the Middle East. You know, this on again, off again war. That's just, we've never seen nothing like it, have we?
No.
You know, as in this on and off, on and off, on and off. You know, one tweet, it's on. Yeah. One tweet, it's off. This tweet, it's on. Next tweet, it's on. Yeah. It's just crazy, isn't it?
It's like, yeah, you just give up and think, oh,
it's
well,
like a video game.
Yeah. Maybe if it's, you know, if the Straits open for a few days, we might start listening to it again, I think. I don't know. It's starting to wear me down.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. And this just tells you that we're living in uncertain times.
Yeah.
You know, so this series that I'm doing there in Windsor this coming Sunday and in a couple of weeks after that at Avondale Memorial Church in Currumbong, you know, A World on the Brink is the title, subtitle, yep. How to Find Peace in Uncertain Times. Yep. Our world is on the brink and, you know, how do we find peace in uncertain times? And that's what you're going to be sharing today.
Yeah. How through you God, found. Through God alone.
Absolutely. So yep. You're going to be sharing your story. All right, folks, it's time to give away our code word for our book for today, Hope for the World, Bible Answers to Big Questions. So the code word is LU26HOPE. All one word. Don't put any spaces or any of those emojis, however you say it. How do you say that word, emojis? You would know, Letitia. You're a Gen Zer, or you're not an alpha. You'd be a Gen Zer. You'd be a Gen Zer.
Yeah, I am.
So how do you say that word, emojis?
Emojis.
Emojis.
Emojis. Correct. Emojis. Well
done. Why can't I ever get it? Seriously.
Emojis.
Emojis. How hard is that? Anyway, so yeah, don't put any of that. So the code word is LU26HOPE and text that word to 0488 17624. That's 0488 17624. Text any questions, any comments for Jeff. I'm sure he'll love to field them. Also, I got a text from our mate Davo in WA. He's our regular looking up listener, and he also listens to so many other programs on Faith FM, as you do. So he's listening, he told me. He's listening. So big shout out to you and Sue as well.
Yep.
You know, she's a member from my other church, good old Sue. So if you guys are listening, a big shout out to you guys. All right, I'm going to have a prayer for you, mate, and then we're going to launch into your powerful testimony.
Okay, thanks very much.
Father in heaven, we just want to pause and pray right now as Jeff shares with us this journey of faith that you've taken him on. And, dear Lord, we just pray that you'll bless him and inspire him with the words and the thoughts to share. And, Lord, that we will all have listening hearts and ears and minds ready to receive this incredible message of faith and hope that you have brought into the life of Jeff in a most beautiful way. So, Lord, bless him as he shares, and bless us as we listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Jeff, over to you, mate. Well, let's start off at the beginning.
Well, yeah, I'm 58, and I have two older sisters and a younger brother, and I have a mother that's still alive. So my father's deceased, and I have no grandparents that are alive. So I'll start from when I was a young child. So I used to say late at night, if I had to get up and go to the toilet, I'd go to the toilet. I was probably about 4 or 5. The moment I opened the door, went into the toilet, it's fine. But the moment I come out of the toilet, I'd have like two spirit animals chasing me.
Wow.
Like, you imagine.
Like, how old were you?
Oh, about 4 or 5. I wouldn't have even been at school.
Wow.
But they were like two little corgi dogs.
Mm-hmm.
See them as clear as bell. You could hear them barking just at your heels. So the moment I shut the door to go back to my room, that would happen, you know, and that happened for probably 3 or 4 years and clear as day. So I sort of knew there's things other than the physical.
Wow, the supernatural was already having an impact on your life whilst you were a little child.
Yeah. And then another time I was laying on my bed and wide awake, just in the middle of the day, and it was just like all of a sudden I had like this vision that I was just laying on the bed with about 100 snakes crawling all over me.
Oh.
And all different types of snakes. Like, and I, you know, very scared of snakes today. Like, I just...
For good reason.
Yeah, for good reason. And I'm laying there and just crawling all over me, all different kinds of snakes. So there would have been poisonous ones.
Mm.
And I never understood what that meant. And sort of later on now, well, you know, the Holy Spirit said, your life, what it meant is that your life would be covered in evil, but you would not be harmed.
Mm.
So that's why I was never bitten. And I always wondered how, you know, it was so real. It was like you could feel them crawling on you.
Wow.
And, like, it was very traumatic.
Mm.
But anyway, I kept it all to myself. Like, I didn't tell my parents or anything, but my parents... used to fight like cats and dogs. And my father used to, like, there was a lot of adultery. I remember he had a few girlfriends and things like that. So as a child, and this is how I perceive it, so as a child I'm thinking, because, you know, you're new to the world, you haven't got addictions, you're healthy as you can be. So,
well, you're innocent.
Yeah, you're innocent, child. And you're very sensitive to everything and your surroundings. So now, for instance, I can walk into a house somewhere and I can feel the thickness of dark energy, like,
wow,
you know, or I can feel it, you know, nice and blissful. And I know we shouldn't feel and all those things, but as a kid and going through what I went through, I've always been very feely and seeing things that other people don't see and hearing things. And I knew I was different because I couldn't tell anyone because, you know, I just had this inner knowing. If I told someone, they'd think I'm mental.
Yeah, well, even as a young child, you were just afraid to share.
Yeah, I was afraid to share.
What you were experiencing.
It's just like this inner knowing I had that, you know, you don't tell people this, you know. And so anyway, so going through my childhood, like,
there was were you growing up in the country or were you growing up in the city to begin
with? Well, in a small country town.
Small country town.
Yeah. And, like, you know, things were, you know, very dramatic. Like, there was a lot of good things as a child. Like, I was blessed. Like, there's a lot of happiness and all that as well. But there was a lot of, like, anger and violence and that with my parents. Another time, I would have been about 7 years old, so I come inside, my mum and dad were arguing and my father was sitting at the kitchen table with a rifle to his head, right?
Oh.
And my mother was there screaming at him, do it, do it, do it. So, I mean, very dramatic as a young kid. And next minute he fired two shots into the kitchen floor. But they weren't like, it was a 22, but it wasn't the loud ones, what you call pistol shots. And they're like very quiet, but still deadly bullet. And so, you know, so very dramatic as a young child. I probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 maybe. I was young. So things like that. And I had a younger brother. He's about 8 years younger than me. And my father used to get cranky if he couldn't sleep and all that and, you know, a lot of things like that. And I remember a few black eyes and a few fat lips and things like that from other family members. I never experienced that, but sort of experienced, like, a lot of emotional violence, you'd call it. So anyway, getting through all that, and as I went through school, you know, I was fairly normal, had lots of friends and was always a rebel, you know, like by the time I was sort of in high school, smoking weed and drinking this and, you know, as it was a normal thing.
That was kind of normal with the people you were hanging out with. Yeah. That was pretty normal, eh?
So all the parents out there be watching your kids from a very young age because some of the things I was getting up to, you know, and so everything sort of went through all right there. And so moving along, yeah, so went through school, got like everything was fine, got in a bit of trouble off a few teachers and that, but, you know, everything was good. I was always sort of well-mannered and all that, like I was brought up, you know, with good morals and things like that. Anyway, and we used to play a bit of music and stuff like that, you know, with my brother. We were a very musical family.
Yeah.
So moving on, we, so out of school, I got my first job, you know, as a kitchen hand. And
like how old were you when you left school?
I was, 15.
Oh, 15.
I left early. I couldn't wait to leave school, you know.
Well, back then there was a lot of kids leaving early.
Yeah.
I mean, that still happens today, but probably not as much. But back then a lot of kids would leave after year 10 often and get an apprenticeship or just go and do some other work.
I think I just wanted to be independent early, you know, because of way things were.
Yeah.
And, I joined the army when I was 19. You know, that was a good experience. But when I left school, I worked there. Then I worked for my father in the family business full time. About 16.
So what sort of business did your family have?
Well, I come from a family of timber cutters and sawmillers and all that. Anyway, my father used to ride me a bit as a kid, you know, like it was just silly things really. And anyway, come to a point, I snapped. I was probably 16. Yeah, so grabbed him in a headlock and was in the sawdust heap and everything. I never, like, actually physically hit him, just more of a wrestle more than anything.
Wow.
And I worked out at that point that everybody has a breaking point.
Mm.
You know, if you push someone and prod someone long enough, sooner or later, you know, they're going to snap it. Mm. And sort of that's where I was at.
So how did your dad respond?
Well, I felt really bad about it. Like,
I've never done that. I've had wrestles with my dad, but I don't think I've ever put him in a headlock.
And the funny thing was he just went like jelly.
Wow.
And
probably would have been shocked.
Yeah, he would have. And I was shocked.
Yeah.
But he never spoke to me for about 3 months, like travelling to work and everything in the car. The weirdest thing... To be sitting together, eating together.
Silence.
And just complete silence. And no one picked up on it, not even me mother or anything. And
it took him 3 months to thaw out from that shock.
But I had a lot of anger from my younger days and, you know, the violence at home and, you know, sort of prodding me and poking me and, you know, putting me down all the time. And
he just pressed one of your buttons. One time too many.
That's it.
Did he change his ways after that?
Well, after that, he was fine.
He was fine.
He never ever poked and prodded me ever again.
So there's no need for another headlock experience.
No.
In the sawdust.
So it did have its benefit.
Yeah.
But moving on from that, so then I go in the army basically. So I'm out of the family business. My mum and dad are still married. So in the army. By the time I get out of the army, my mum and dad are divorced. Everything's changed. So,
how long were you in the army for?
3 years.
About 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in Armoured Corps, so a driver signaller. So, done a lot of things in there and it was amazing. And, come out of there and, So, anyway, then I ended up getting with a girl. And never got married, but I was engaged. And we bought a house and all that. And, you know, things were looking really good. And so everything was fine. You know, it was a 10-year relationship. The first 5 years were awesome. The next 5 years were a bit rocky. And, it was challenging. But I guess I just wasn't the right person for me, but I never realised it.
Mm. Wow.
And,
wow. What a start to your journey, Jeff. So I can see just so much took place from a young age and here you are. Wow.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to the next chapter of Jeff's journey in just a little bit, but now we're going to listen to Glimmer of Hope, One Glory, and then after that we're going to continue on with Jeff's story.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? Cause I know faith holds in what can be seen. But my hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again? again. You reach out as I lean backward, too scared to face my unbelief. If what you say you really mean it, restore my first love again. Cause I know love awakens, love as I behold you. So turn my eyes to see you now. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again? Back around. Oh, give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again? Back around. Would you turn me back around again? Back around. Cause when I face you, I face my fears, and the devil can't hold me down. I will cling to you, my closest friend. If I seek you, will be found. When I face you, I face my fears, and the devil can't hold me down. I will cling to you, my closest friend. If I seek you, will be found. If I seek you, will be found. If I seek you, will be found. So give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. You've been listening to Glimmer of Hope from One Glory. Hope and pray that you were blessed by that song. And you are listening to the Looking Up Show. And today we've got our special guest here, Jeff. He's sharing his journey of faith. And wow, he shared his first portion, and that has been a real blessing. And we've still got plenty more for him to share. But before he continues sharing, I want to give you another opportunity to get hold of that book, Hope for the World, Bible Answers to Big Questions by Beulah Galloway. You'll want to get hold of this book. This book will help you to understand everything you need to know about God, His law, sin, salvation, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God's plan and purpose for humanity in this world. So the code word is LU26HOPE, LU26HOPE. Text that word to 04-888-17624 and no emojis. I think I got it right. Emojis.
Emojis.
Emojis. Oh, I thought I was there. Oh, man.
Close.
Am I ever going to get there? Keep me in prayer, folks. Keep me in prayer. In the meantime, yeah, we're going to continue on with the story. So, yeah. Yep. You had your dad in a headlock, and after that, things changed. And you went to the army.
Yep.
Come out of the army. You've been in this relationship.
Yep. So anyway, it was a 10-year relationship. The first 5 years were awesome. The last 5 years were very rocky. I remember sort of reading stories to me daughter and knowing that.
Okay, so you've got a daughter?
I got a daughter.
How old is she now?
28.
Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, we had a daughter. And I remember when she was little reading the stories and just the tears flowing, just knowing that I couldn't stay because the relationship was toxic. Oh. And, you know, I grew up in that relationship, sort of in that environment, and didn't want that for my own sort of child and all that. I stayed there for 4 years, but I just couldn't do it in the end. Anyway, one night in that house, about 1 o'clock in the morning, because I used to do a lot of shift work, so my hours were sort of all over the place, days, nights. So anyway, one night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I got up out of bed and just walked out the back and looking up at the stars, and the house was sort of behind me, and I could hear this humming, like a jet plane engine. And I could hear like this humming, and I couldn't see anything. And then all of a sudden, straight over the top of my head, it was probably about 300 metres above my head, was like this spaceship-looking thing. It was green, and it was just like a disc-looking thing.
Wow.
But the humming of it, like it was like everything was shaking. It was just like a vibration that you could feel. Like
wow.
Like imagine a jet engine at the airport. You know how you feel that humming vibration?
Yep.
That's what it was like. And it come over the top, and I'm there, and I'm thinking, and I physically said it, I'm going to pinch myself. Am I awake? This isn't a dream. You know, I went through all that. I'm looking at this thing. And then it just slowly drifted off, and then within a split second, bang, it was gone.
Wow. So, just disappeared.
Just disappeared. So I've always... Well, I was, but not now, a believer of UFOs.
As in these extraterrestrial beings potentially that a lot of people believe in, that Hollywood has made very famous, obviously through its movies and so forth.
Yeah.
Well, but now you know that this, if it's not some government operation, it's from the enemy.
Yeah.
It's from the devil himself who is able to orchestrate such kind of machinery.
Yeah.
And so, he's able to, you know, just defy physics, which is what they're talking about right now.
Exactly. And it was so real.
Yeah.
Like it was like I said, I was pinching myself and thinking this isn't a dream. It was just like so
But real. It was as real as real can be.
As real as real can be. Wow. And, you know, I've only told a few people about that, but, I mean, what a deception.
Mm. Wow.
You know, and, you know, when you hear of, you know, people seeing all these extraterrestrials and that.
And there are so many accounts. Yeah,
I can understand it. I've experienced
it. You've experienced it.
If you've never experienced it, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
But I experienced it spiritually.
Yeah, wow.
You know, I thought it was physical.
Yeah.
Pinching myself.
Yep.
You know, but it was a spiritual experience. Yeah. So
we know how the enemy can deceive everyone. If you're not grounded in the Bible, if you're not grounded in the Bible, you will be deceived, because this is this is supernatural phenomena that we don't have any physical explanation for, and so it's from another dimension. And when Satan, you know, impersonates even Christ and his coming, as we know from Scripture and many other impersonations, people will be taken in hook, line, and sinker if they don't know what the Bible teaches.
And during all this time, like every so often, I'd be seeing spirit beings like me grandparents, you know, just people I've never seen before. But I'd be laying down like in a crib break at work, just sort of resting my eyes, and I could see people.
Wow.
You know, didn't know who they were, but, you know, and see people when my eyes are open and just feel things like, you know, someone just walked over me grave when I'm in a place that's a bit, you know, evil. You know, I can just feel the evilness of a place and feel the love of another place, you know.
Mm. You know, it's fascinating to me, Jeff, that like from the age of 4 or 5, from those little corgi dogs or whatever, those little dogs that you said that would, you know, be there waiting for you when you got out of the toilet, all the way through, you have had this spiritual phenomena following you. It's like the enemy has been hounding you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, go back to the dream with the snakes.
Mm, yeah.
It all makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's only 5 years ago that I actually knew what that dream meant, you know. So I've been racking my brain over it, you know, most of my life.
So no one needs to convince you that we live in this world where there are spiritual forces at work.
Oh, yeah.
As the Bible says, you know, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. So there's spiritual warfare going on.
Yes.
And it's real. I mean, it was real in Jesus' day. Jesus encountered spiritual warfare. There was demon possession in Jesus' day that, you know, he combated that and he gained the victory. Yep. And praise God, we can gain the victory.
Yep. And I've experienced that, and that's so many testimony. Like that. Yeah, yeah.
So continue.
So anyway, one night I got home early in the morning from work doing a night shift, and Benny Hinn used to be on the TV.
Oh yeah, that's that famous Benny Hinn, an American evangelist.
And I was reading the Bible every now and again. Mm-hmm. Then, like, I had a New Testament. You know, I sort of had a few spooky things going on. I had a Bible, and that's, you know, I always knew there was a God, but I didn't know how to connect with Him, with God.
Yeah,
no one in my family's a Christian. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any Christians. So
never went to church,
you know, all those things. So I didn't have any role models around me or anything. And, so getting back to Benny Hinn, I'm sitting there watching the TV and he's doing his healing thing. And then all of a sudden I felt the spiritual presence.
Wow.
And I used to suffer a lot of hay fever and all that. And I was having Demazons and that probably 2 or 3 times a week. And they got codeine in them, and where I work, getting a lot of drug tests and that. So I was sort of starting to panic, like, what do? I've got to take this medication and, you know, I'm going to do a drug test when I go to work. Anyway, it was like I was looking at him at the TV, and it's like he's looking at me, talking to me. I just felt this, like he's talking to me, and he said, "You'd be healed of all your hay fever and your allergies."
Wow.
And I tell you what, from that day, I've never had hay fever ever since.
Wow.
And it was that bad. It was debilitating. So this was a little faith thing with God, you know, that sort of, yeah, there is a God. Like, look at this, you know. So anyway, moving on. And
we're not necessarily endorsing Benny Hinn
and
the way he goes about it.
No.
But God can use a donkey.
Yeah,
and God can use someone like Benny Hinn, because the bottom line is it's not so much the person who he's sharing, but it's the person who's receiving. And so you had faith.
I had the experience of it.
And God used that experience, yeah.
Because I was reading the New Testament here and there, I suffered a lot of depression as growing up in a household like that, you know. So I started to realize when I open the Bible and read it, all of a sudden I feel good, you know. So that's where I was at. And then the Benny Hinn thing come along. Mm-hmm. Then anyway, I separated with that relationship, and the next relationship is the doozy. Because I didn't know it in the beginning, but she was a very, what you call, a spiritual person that was, I wouldn't say she was into the occult or anything, but she was, didn't know at the beginning, but she...
She was tampering with the supernatural.
Yeah, she was tampering with the supernatural. That's a good way to put it. And everything went well, you know. I fell in love with this woman and... Anyway, she had a husband that died from cancer a couple of years earlier. And when she was younger, she had a boyfriend that was run over by a bus when she was pregnant with his child. So here's a woman with a lot of trauma in her life as well. And I've learned that Satan will prey on that.
So people that
have had trauma in their life, I've seen the pattern where you're a target. You're an easy target. If you're a drug addict, you're an alcoholic, you know, you are a target for Satan.
Yeah, whatever addiction you have, the enemy will seek to bring that out, to
bring
you down.
We'll use it against you.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I fell in love with this woman, and she told me about her ex-husband that died of cancer. And the funny thing, right in that moment, I knew I was going to have to deal with this man spiritually, you know, because I'm seeing things and I just had that really bad feeling. Anyway, moving along, I was asleep one night, got up to go to the toilet, I've got up out of bed. My partner's laying beside me, as normal.
Mm.
The moment I opened the door to walk out into the hallway, it was like I just got hit with a big spiritual, what would you say? It was like walking into a lightning bolt. And it was like someone grabbing you by the heart and twisting it, like someone stabbing you in the heart. And I've sort of gone from the hallway and sort of run back into the bedroom trying to wake me partner up, and she's a light sleeper. She's dead to the world.
Wow.
And I'm shaking her, and she's not waking up. And I'm taking my last breath. I reckon if there was a video camera in that room, I would have been blue.
Wow.
I don't care what anyone says.
Hmm.
I thought I was dying.
Hmm.
I thought, I'm going to die right here, right now. Then all of a sudden, bang, it let go at my last breath. And one thing I learnt from that, God will always turn up right at the end. Like, he'll let you go through some things and all that, but just when you think all hope is lost, there he is. So
you were beginning to see God's intervention.
I mean,
through Benny Hinn.
Yeah.
And now through this episode where you thought you were on the way out.
Yeah. Still reading my Bible, not every day or anything.
So probably. The enemy could see that you were drawing closer to God, and now he was pulling out all the stops.
Yeah. And I was also seeing things like her ex-husband, like, standing there, like, going like this, as if I'm going to cut your throat, you know, like that, spiritually.
Yeah.
Like I'm here looking at you. It's like there doing that.
And these kind of apparitions.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just trying to scare me.
This is the real world.
It's
this
the
is
real
the
world.
Real spiritual world out there, folks. Kids, do not play games with the spiritual, Ouija boards, movies. Just don't go there. Yeah.
So terrifying. And especially after I was nearly killed, you know, like, that's, I'm still surprised I'm here, to be honest.
By God's grace.
Yeah,
by God's grace. Here.
Like, I definitely thought I was taking my last breath. Anyway, things are getting pretty wild in that relationship. Like, the first, once again, the first 5 years was good. The second 5 years was... yeah, big spiral downwards. I seem to have that pattern with women. It always begins good but ends badly. So, but you know, I see the funny side of it now.
Yeah.
I look back, I see God in every area of it. In the moment, God, where's God, you know? So
wow, that's powerful. You've just watching God working there, not allowing the enemy to have full sway, just protecting you. Wow, what a powerful story. Well, folks, it's time for another song before we continue on with Jeff's journey of faith. Leslie Jordan, You Are With Me, and then after that we will continue.
My heart is heavy and tired in this valley. Mountains grow higher and higher, but I can't find you. I'll keep lifting my eyes, I know you're with me. I hear your voice when you cry, comfort, comfort. Sorrow may last for the night, but in the morning your joy breaks in with the light. I know you're with me. I know you're with me. You're for me. You've been behind. Go before, you walk beside me through darkest valleys. I know you are with me. You let me hear
Hi, I'm Rochelle, and you can join me every Thursday afternoon on Faith FM for the Book Nook. We'll discover great books, chat with inspiring authors, and enjoy great music and giveaways. We'll also be joined by Lyle Southwell each week for Question of the Day, where you'll get answers to your Bible questions. There's no question too big, too small, or too strange. So text in on 0488 80856. Tune in live to the Book Nook with Rochelle each Thursday from 3:30 p.m. New South Wales time.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
You are indeed listening to Faith FM, and it's the Looking Up Show. My name is Danny, and I'm joined today by Jeff, who is sharing his incredible journey of faith. And, you know, your journey of faith could be the title of this book, the book from Roger Morneau that you'd be familiar with, because we mention it on this program a lot, A Trip into the Supernatural.
Yes, definitely.
You know, that's your journey, A Trip into the Supernatural. And that's one of the subjects that I focus on, as you know, in connection with my A World on the Brink series, Finding Peace in Uncertain Times, because the supernatural is going to be at the heart of bringing everyone together. I refer to it as the super glue, end time super glue that brings everyone together.
Yes.
And so you're sharing, like, from your experience, and a lot of people have, you know, the supernatural experience, but they don't know what it is.
Yes.
They're either afraid, or some people even tamper with it. They think it's fun and games, and Hollywood's pumping out movie after movie on the supernatural. There's games, there's books, children's books like Harry Potter and so forth.
Yep.
So the supernatural has become mainstream and seen as a whole bunch of just fun and games.
Yeah, it's no fun and games.
It's no fun and games.
No fun and games.
Because it's Satan, the devil himself. It's his poison.
The destroyer.
Absolutely.
He destroys lives.
Absolutely. And I tell people, don't play with the devil. If you play with the devil, you will get seriously burnt. So, folk, we have our giveaway. Before we continue on with Jeff's story, Hope for the World, Bible Answers to Big Questions. The code word is LU26HOPE, LU26HOPE. And so text that word to 04-888-17624, 04-888-17624. And Jeff told me while that beautiful song was going on that the best is yet to come. So we're in the second half of this journey. Time is flying, as it always does on the radio. So yeah, continue sharing with us. Where to next?
Okay, so this relationship is sort of a few ups and downs spiritually, but we're sort of still in love with each other and everything like that. Like, everything's sort of still going fairly well, and but then things start to sort of go downhill. I got some bad news. My nephew had actually killed someone with a drug deal, ice, which is the devil's drug.
Mm.
And you see it in every town in Australia now. And I just see people just, it's just so sad.
It is.
It's the devil's drug.
Oh, absolutely.
It's, not many people come back from that drug.
Mm.
And it's just so devastating. Anyway, my nephew shot someone point blank on it with a drug deal. So obviously he thought it was the easiest way to get the goods without having to pay for it. And he done time in jail and everything like that. You know, he's involved with the wrong people.
Hmm.
I had another nephew that killed his best friend in a car accident.
Wow.
So my journey, you know, so there's a lot of anger, inner anger, that's built up, and a bit of outer anger, like with my father, popped out. So, you know, I sort of had a lot of internal stuff going on.
So you've had broken relationships, this spiritual trauma, this spiritual harassment.
Yes.
And then you've had these tragic, deaths in the family, these horrible traumas. So you were really, really scarred.
I was physically sick for 2 weeks.
Wow.
I couldn't eat. I was physically sick after just hearing what had happened. It just surprised me so much, you know. Yeah. Like, he's out now. He's got his life back together and, you know, praise the Lord.
Mm.
Like, you know, I suppose forgiveness is such a big thing.
Amen.
I've had to learn to forgive so much, and God's been gracious to me. Like the scripture says, if you don't forgive, the Lord won't forgive us.
Yeah,
so
that's what Jesus said. Yeah.
It's a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And I've been blessed to be able to forgive.
Yeah.
And I would not have been able to do it in my own strength.
Well,
ever.
There's healing in forgiveness.
Yes.
Whether you're receiving it or whether you're giving forgiveness, there's healing to be found. And that's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to experience healing.
Exactly. And it's the only place you can get it.
Mm, amen.
Like, you know, no counselor can do it for you. It's God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's the healing.
Amen.
You know, human beings can't give you anything.
Mm.
You know, and anyway, so I'm going through a lot of major stuff with this woman now. Like, she is basically, in the moment, I'm not seeing it, but where I am now looking back, she's she's possessed by the devil.
Mm.
Like, I'm trying to work, doing the washing, hang the washing out on the line, she'll bring it back in with all the clothes are wet, you know, vacuum and three or four times a day, doing everything she can to aggravate me. This went on for months and months. You know, just so soul destroying, trying to work, trying to sort of keep the money coming in, keep the family going. And, like, going to work with no sleep and having to have days off because just too tired. And, like, basically I was living with the devil.
Mm.
And I remember, like, even she was reading the Bible every now and again with me. And I remember going to a church and begging the priest to come to the house and pray in the house, you know, and pray for us and all that. Like, I didn't know what to do, wasn't a Christian, didn't know my Bible well enough. So anyway, we're in separate bedrooms and all that by then, and I put a little Bible on the floor in the doorway of a bedroom, and I'm sort of went back out in the lounge room, and about 5 minutes later, I saw her walking out with the Bible under her foot, sliding it along the floor. And I just had this inner knowing. I just thought, that's it. God is not going to put up with this. And, and the spiritual war began.
Mm.
Anyway, I was at a point where I could not do nothing, no matter what I did. Like, rang up, trying to get the GP to do a house call. Didn't want anything to do with it. Like, the police had come every now and again. She'd ring the police, you know, domestic violence, all this stuff. You know, I ended up on charges for domestic violence on her say-so. Went through all the courts, cost me thousands of dollars, all this to clear my name. I never got convicted. I think the only thing I had going for me is she had previous... she was known to police with similar things in the past, and I think that's what saved me because
otherwise
it's an accusation one against the other. How do you prove it?
Yeah, that's right. You can't.
And I couldn't.
Yeah.
But it all worked out, you know, praise God.
Praise the Lord.
In the end, you know, walked out of there, no conviction or anything.
Mm.
And,
Wow, like, how did you hang in there
for that long? I don't know. It was God.
I mean, I'm thinking I would have been out of there in it.
Yeah.
I don't know how many opportunities of vacuum cleaning I would have been able to deal with, how many wet clothes coming back inside the house. But
well,
I was very patient.
Very stubborn I am.
Very stubborn. And, okay, you call it stubbornness.
Because we were in a rental too, and the lease was in my name.
Okay,
so,
yep.
You know, but ended up, in the end, the police, you know, I had an AVO and, I had to move out anyway. Mm. So, anyway, I was at a point, I dropped to my knees and prayed to God. I surrender, God. I surrender it all to you.
Wow.
You know, I didn't know that's what you had to do. I didn't, it just happened spiritually, like, Next thing.
It was the Holy Spirit leading you. Obviously, it was the Holy Spirit leading you. But you had no idea.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I was at my wit's end.
Yeah.
I thought, I can't do anything.
So you get on your knees and you say, Lord, I surrender.
I surrender, Lord.
I surrender, Lord. Wow.
Bang. That was my born again moment right there.
Wow.
Trying to deal with this woman with major mental health and possession and, so it was difficult. And there was sort of like, yeah, I had my daughter every second weekend and things like that. Like there's so many other things that were just like major. I remember being down the lake in the boat one day and had a bottle of bourbon in the boat and like I had a couple of drinks, like, you know, no big deal, like, you know, they had the booze bus and everything then, so I could just have a couple and fishing for the day. Anyway, I didn't realise it, but she drank nearly the whole bottle and was tanked.
Wow.
And we pulled up and at Warner's Bay to get a drink and, you know, she was ranting and raving and the girls went over to the shop and come back and I said, oh, don't get Coke, get lemonade anyway, come back, and she spat it because there was no Coke. She's jumped out of the boat and, you know, Warner's Bay, it's pretty busy, middle of the day on the weekend, and she's just walked to the garage, like walking straight, didn't even look for cars. My heart sank and I just prayed there, Lord, please don't let her get run over. Please don't let the kids see this. Mm. And how she didn't get run over. There was screeching of brakes, like, and she just walked and she did not look. Wow. I couldn't chase her and grab her or anything. She was already gone.
Yeah.
She was too far. Wow. Like, yeah. And I mean, I'm so grateful to God that nothing happened to her. Like, and it was just one of them instant prayers, bang, and God answered it right there.
Wow.
So that was a cry to God and instantly he came. So, yeah, that was amazing. Anyway, she ended up being locked up in the jail there, and because I wasn't going to get her back in the boat and take her all the way back over the lake to where the car was. I wasn't going to risk it because, you know, she might have jumped out of the boat or anything on the way back. I just couldn't deal with it. So there was a lot of dark stuff there. And there was another moment there where, don't ask me how, but I'm born again now, right? And she's sitting there at the computer desk and I don't know why, I just put my hands on her in the name of Jesus, you know, rebuke the evil spirits, come out. And they come out all right, but guess what happened? Come into me.
Oh, wow.
So, and this is one thing I've been dying to tell people about. Imagine having a jar with a handful of bees in it, shaking the jar, and you know how that's what your mind goes like. So they've come into me and I'm like walking, didn't know where I was going, like walk out the back, didn't know what I was doing. And probably the best way to explain it would be an ice addict, how they react.
Just completely oblivious to their surroundings.
Completely oblivious. And that was the first time she said my name. She said, Jeff, are you all right? I remember her kept saying, Jeff, are you all right? She hadn't said my name for probably 12 months.
Wow.
You know? So, I mean, right there, that was evidence for me too because it was just a full-on war, good against evil. And so, I mean, pretty amazing. Like, you know, that was just pure faith and the Holy Spirit, like, I didn't really know, but I'd read in the Bible, you know, laying on hands and pulling out evil spirits.
Yeah,
very inexperienced. Like,
so you're just doing what you have, what little you know. This seed of faith.
Yeah,
you're like a little child. You're just putting into practice as best you know, and God is working
in a situation where I had no choice.
Yeah, wow.
And anyway, so 15 minutes later, I've come back in, I've walked to the lounge, I've grabbed a pillow and just screamed as loud as I could into the pillow and they were gone.
Wow.
And within about an hour, they were back in her.
Wow.
And as it says in the scripture,
yeah,
when you wipe the house clean.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
If you don't fill it up with the things of God, seven worse demons come in.
Yeah.
And the person is worse off than they were first time around.
So we went into that sort of side of it. So meanwhile, I went through the courts and with the domestic violence and all this, and next thing, you know, I'm living at my sister's and then come back and, you know, it's all over with then. Like, she's moved on, she's out of my life, and now I'm back by myself. And, like, I would sleep at night wondering whether I was going to wake up the next morning. You know, wondering whether she was going to knife me or kill me in my sleep.
Well, there you go.
Very scary.
Wow, scary, scary. Well, we're going to be listening to Jesus Open Our Eyes featuring Anna Beaton, a beautiful song, and then Jeff's going to finish off.
Busy making friends with the world, getting so comfortable that we forget why we're here. Only distracted by our treasures and toys and things that are new, that we can't see eternal things. Jesus, open our eyes to the things unseen, for this world is temporary. Fix our eyes on eternal things. Pursue. Open our eyes to the things unseen, for this world is temporary. Fix our eyes on eternal things, 'cause soon
everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then. All right. That was my bad, folks. Sorry about that. That was Carly Fletcher, Jesus, Open Our Eyes, that also featured Anna Beeden. So I think I got it around the wrong way to begin with, but yeah, beautiful song. And so one final time, the code word for our book, Hope for the World, Bible Answers to Big Questions, the code word that you need to text in to 0488 17624. The code word is LU26, HOPE. Praise God for the hope that we have. And that's what you've been telling us about, Jeff.
Yep.
The hope that Jesus alone can provide through his word.
Yeah, that's it. That's where it's at.
Yeah. So where to from now? As now you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you're seeing Jesus working, you're practicing scripture to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
And where did your life go to next?
So anyway, during all this, I had a job in the mine, so a well-paying job and everything like that. And it was impressed on me heart to leave that job. And so I left there. And my brother had recently split up with his wife, so he was living alone in Queensland. So I went up there to visit him and was up there for about 6 months and then come back down. And I ended up living in a donga, in a caravan park. So pretty much a lot of solitude, just me and the Lord, and a lot of Bible reading. Like I had the Old Testament and the New Testament then, so a lot of reading the Bible, sort of a lot of friends in the park, of course, and talking Jesus, like me family, everyone thinks I'm nuts, like a crazy Christian, you know.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't be quiet.
Mm.
And yeah.
So you were seeing God change your life.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus was changing your life.
Yeah. And
for the better.
Yeah. And I was eating healthy and, you know, exercising. So all these things were all coming in. And anyway, about 3 years later, 2 or 3 years, it was time to get baptized. So anyway, I've always had a big respect for priests and anyone, all Christians, always respected Christians and priests and all that. Anyway, God put me on a bit of a task. So, you know, it was a bit daunting. So anyway, I goes in there, goes for all the stuff for baptism, and I won't say which particular church, but he was about 10 years younger than me, this priest, and an ex-policeman. So you can imagine, pretty stubborn sort of fellow like myself, but probably more so being an ex-policeman. Anyway, I goes in there and he says, oh, you know, it's up to me if you get baptized or not. And bang, it was like the Holy Spirit just convicted me of, well, it's not up to you, because if someone walks through that door, you've got to make it possible for them to be baptized, because that's what opens the door for God to work in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say yes or no.
Absolutely.
If someone wants to be baptized voluntarily, well, you got to accommodate that.
Mm.
And, you know, and for this particular priest, no, it was up to him. So, I mean, so it was a lot of things like that. And we did clash a bit here and there, you know, and, you know, I guess it was my fault in a lot of ways. But anyway, I got baptized. And by this time, I've had a couple of years to study my Bible. And I've always, especially in the beginning, read front to back, because I didn't want to miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even the bit like Leviticus and Kings. Like,
and you all can, the begats. And
you can start reading that and lose interest really quickly.
Yeah.
But something was just telling me,
just to keep going.
Just to keep reading it.
Wow.
And like,
you didn't want to miss anything.
Want to miss anything, exactly. And so I was baptized with oil.
Mm-hmm.
So I had basic knowledge in my Bible, so I knew. And I'd never seen a baptism like as in being there. Mm-hmm. I'd seen like sprinkling of water and that. And I thought, gee, that's odd. And I just never gelled in that place. So I went there about half a dozen times afterwards, and it just, you know, I didn't have any friends there or anything, and it was just I thought I can learn more at home reading me Bible with God and the Holy Spirit than what I can learn going to that church, which is unfortunate.
Mm.
But it's the reality that I felt and what I perceived.
Yeah.
So my whole story is what I perceive. Mm. So anyway, moving on from there. So I'm in the Donga for about 3 years. So a life of solitude, you could say, which was really good for me. Didn't have to worry about mowing lawns or anything like that. Just spending a lot of time with God and the Holy Spirit and reading the Bible. So it was very valuable, that part of my life. And then I moved out to where I'm at now. And, you know, I sort of done God on my own after that because I sort of lost faith.
Hmm.
And I sort of, like, talking about Jesus to everyone I know, the supermarket, you know, people you run into. So I couldn't be quiet. And it's the Holy Spirit, you know, like just putting it on your heart. And, you know, even me boss at the time, I said, oh, yeah, this is me second job. And he looked at me like as if, what? I said, yeah, well, my first job's working for God. And I said, this is my second job. And it was like a big relief being a truck driver. He's probably thinking, oh, he's out working 10 hours, you know, overnight or something for someone else. So, but that's what it was like, you know, just on fire for God.
Yeah, wow, that first love experience.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And it was just so amazing. But, yeah, so moving on from that, so I was just doing God on my own, and I started to dabble in like rocks and crystals and things like that a bit too. So, and I never did before that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could never stand wearing a ring or a necklace or anything, but I think God pointed me there to give me the experience of like the New Age movement.
Yeah. They're very big in that space.
So it was like
crystals and rocks
and
so forth.
It was like God was pushing me into that, as weird as it all sounds, but without the experience of it, now it's like I'm right up on it. Mm. So if someone's sort of dabbling with that, yeah, I can definitely, yeah, you don't want to go there.
No.
So I learned a lot out of that, and it's just strengthened me, like, spiritually. It's like, as weird as it sounds, like it doesn't sound like God would even do that.
Mm. Well, he allowed you to experience
it.
Not that that was his plan for you, but he allowed you to experience, to learn from that, and to see that that is part of the supernatural world that we don't want to go down that road.
Yeah. And
to help others not to go down that road.
And it's, it all works. Like, I experienced it working, and, you know, there's some weird and wonderful things going on. And, like, I remember closing my eyes, and they call it astral travel and traveling around the universe and all these weird things and experienced out-of-body experiences and all weird stuff.
Well, that's all from the enemy.
Yeah.
And we're not to go anywhere near that, the Bible says,
So
it says flee that kind of temptation, because they're the fruits of darkness.
But anyway, all that's all, you know, to one side now. And I got to a point where I was just getting really lonely. Like, I always said I might be lonely, but I'm never alone. Meaning the Spirit of God is with me, you know, and that's how I've always felt. But I did experience moments of like separation from God, where things weren't like the relationship, you could feel a distance, you know, with sin and things like that, like the separation. Sin causes separation. So I'm still learning and all that, but, and I've suffered pride. So I've had a lot of those sorts of experiences where you're up, down, and, you know, you can be good with God and then you can backslide and all those sorts of things. So God's throwing all this thing into me, I think, you know, to give me the experiences, to build my faith, like from where I'm sitting now and looking back, it's all been useful.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, nothing has been...
Well, no experience is wasted.
Yeah, exactly.
No experience is wasted. Yeah. So you mentioned, your boss with the truck driver. So you're a truck driver, because something significant happened as you were.
Yeah. Well, I got a new job. Anyway, I'm in the truck, and where I work now, there's two trucks, and I've spoken of this to a few people before and a couple of little testimonies here and there. And every time you turn the master switch on in the truck, it comes 2 digits off Faith FM. So it's going to 87.5. So I could hear the white noise. And, you know, ever since I was born again, I was always listening to other radio programs and testimonies on the internet and all sorts of stuff, whatever I could sort of get hold of, reading my Bible. And then, yeah, so I discovered Faith FM. I heard them talking about Jesus, like in the white noise of the radio.
Wow.
And I flicked it over. And meanwhile, I'm praying for truth, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. Mm-hmm. No man comes unto the Father but by Jesus.
Yes, yes.
And I've got like a little plaque thing at home sitting there that I'm always looking at that. Like that's one of my favourite little passages. So
John 14.
And so, yeah, so it's all happening.
So what happened as you started to listen to, well, to Faith FM? Well, like how long ago was this? When did this happen?
Well, this would probably be, yeah, a couple of years ago. A
couple of years ago now.
Yeah. I've sort of been going to church now for a bit over 12 months.
Yeah.
So it was about 12 months before that. And sort of I was being convicted for working the Sabbath nights and all that sort of thing, you know, and I'd listen to the Looking Up show and I'd hear you about to come on the radio and I'd have a smile from ear to ear. You
know, crazy just, Denny.
Yeah, crazy Denny. He's about to be on the radio. And I said a little prayer. I said, oh, I'd like to meet him one day. And then the week after that, I heard that you're at RTM Church at Raymond Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
And it just floored me. And I just thought, well, I've got to go there now. Like,
because that's like one of the nearest churches to you where you live. Yeah, that's the
nearest church to where I live.
Oh, wow.
So if you were like up in Queensland somewhere, it would have been different. Oh, yeah, he's up there. But because you're so close, I thought, well, I've got to go and meet you. Like God has set it all up. You know, I could see God working.
And you met Shell there as well?
Yeah,
Shell. Lyle.
I've met some wonderful people there, like, and when I walked in there, it was like, I want to see Jesus in people here, you know. I want to see the love of Jesus. And I did see that. Like, people are just so loving and kind. And,
amen.
You know, what a family, church family, like-minded people.
The RTM family is just such a beautiful family. Everyone's just so easygoing, so kind, so loving. They can put up with me. I mean, any church that can put up with me is a good church. I mean, you've got saints in that church. Yeah. So, that was just over 12 months ago when we bumped into each other. And I remember I wasn't at church the first week I think you arrived and someone told me there's a guy called Jeff. He was asking about you, listens to Faith FM and the Looking Up show, and I think the next time I was there and you had come again. And
well, the first time I went there, the pastor didn't turn up because they ended up with 2 flat tires. So there's the devil.
So well, that wasn't no the pastor. That was, well, I guess, she's a pastor now. She was a student then. So that was really exciting. And since coming, you've got yourself involved in the music.
Yeah, love
pretty
the
much
music.
Every week. You're on your guitar,
loving it.
With our mate Maddie, you two are like twins. You guys are like in sync. Incredible.
God opened the door this year. Like few church, like music teams left, and God opened the door wide open. So I go.
Absolutely. It's been so great. And Sherilyn's been, just wonderful working together with you guys. And it's been just such a blessing. And you got baptized not so long ago.
Yeah, got baptized last
months
February.
Ago. Yeah, in February.
Yeah, awesome.
That was an awesome day. You read The Great Controversy in a week?
Yeah, I couldn't put it down. Read it in a week. The moment I opened it, it's like, I had a quiet week at work that week. And I think God planned it that way.
Wow.
And I just couldn't put it down. And it, with all the evil stuff I'd experienced through my life, the spiritualism, that book, you know, it just, I should probably glue it to the back of the Bible, wow, I reckon.
It's a powerful book. We've been going through that book on the Looking Up show, chapter by chapter, yeah, week by week, when Charissa and I are together. Well, we've been blessed so far, and we've got a few more moments left with Jeff. But in the meantime, tune in and listen to Brian Dirksen, Refiner's Fire. And after that, we'll be back with some closing thoughts.
Purify my heart, purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver, purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be
are listening to Brian Dirksen, Refiner's Fire, and you are listening to the final part on this Looking Up show on this Wednesday afternoon. And, wow, we have been blessed, Jeff, to have you share your journey of faith. And we praise God for where he has brought you today.
Yeah, I'm so grateful and glad that, you know, hopefully there'll be people out there that can be blessed by my testimony. And, yeah, I'm so grateful to God. And, like, where I am now, I can look back and I see God in everything. I didn't at the time, like, except for a few moments here and there. But from where I'm sitting now, God was there from the beginning. He was always there.
Amen.
And he's always with us,
Amen.
Whether we think or not, think Amen. He is or not. Yeah.
Amen. And I know that you have had an impact on people's lives. Only God knows how many. But one person I know that you've had an impact on, and that's our friend Eugene.
Yeah.
He was baptized when you were baptized, yeah. Eugene, because he took up the challenge of reading through the Great Controversy in a week.
Yes. Yeah.
He also did that. I don't know too many people that have read the Great Controversy in its entirety in a week. I certainly haven't done that. But, yeah, he took on board that challenge and he read it through in a week and he was thoroughly blessed by it as well. And so Eugene will be coming in, by the way, folk. He'll be coming in June, God willing, on one of two Wednesdays. We haven't nailed down which one, but he's going to come and share his journey of faith. Which is really exciting. So I know that was a very special moment when the two of you were baptized at the same time.
He's become a very good friend. I've like Boolaroo Church, you know, and
He comes to Boolaroo Church. Yeah. So he's a member of Boolaroo. So I've got one in each church.
Yeah.
I've got Eugene in one and Jeff in the other. So that's really exciting.
And I've always said I'm going to go back to Boolaroo, you know, every couple of
months.
Yeah,
drop in. Yeah, people would love to see you.
Yeah.
People would love to see you. So
I've just been so busy with the music lately.
I know.
And loving it.
Like,
even at home, like, have a bit of a practice, like, it's just what a blessing to play the music and just be lifted up
to be
by
worshiping God.
Instead of
the world and or the enemy, you know, to be worshiping God. So we've only got a couple of minutes left, Jeff, before we have to sign off. Time flies.
Yes,
you said it that. Has. You said that during the song break. Time is flying, and that's the case every. Do you have like a final message of hope that you could share with our listeners? Maybe someone who's going through what you have talked about and your experience, or someone who has a family member or a friend who's going through that. What would you share with them? How do you navigate in this spiritual warfare space?
Well, it's a very difficult situation for anybody or any family to be in, like, because you know, it's like in scripture, you know, the evil men living in caves that were naked and come out, the whole town was terrified of them. So, you know, the strength and that comes from people that are like, you know, possessed by evil spirits and stuff. It's all real. It's all out there. Stay away from it. Turn to God. Pray to God. God will always help you. You know, that was like me. In total brokenness, I could do nothing of myself. I couldn't change my situation. I didn't know you had to surrender to God. Dropped to my knees and surrendered the situation to him.
Amen.
And bang, in he came.
Amen.
And
so that's the key.
That's the
surrendering.
Key. Surrendering.
Yeah.
And
just giving the reins over to God.
And consistently surrendering daily.
Amen.
You know, there's a big difference to being partially surrendered and being fully surrendered.
Amen.
You know. And trust God.
Yeah.
And build the relationship. Read your Bible.
And he will see you through.
And he will see you through.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Jeff. It's been a real blessing. Thank you, Letitia, for directing traffic. It's been a blessing. I hope and pray that you have all been blessed. And until next time, my dear friends, remember, fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith looks up. Keep looking up. And I'll see those in Windsor this coming Sunday. God bless. Bye for now.
Keep looking up. Don't give up. Don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up. Should the tears begin to start, with a prayer all your cares he will cast
into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. To Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So let's run the race, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy set before him at Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, he now sits at the right hand of God. Keep looking unto Jesus, keep looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. To Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So let's run the race, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus.